Hello, Alaska. This is Pat Race. And actually, it's just me today. I did a little interview and I wanted to share it because it felt like it was important. In the context of the education discussion we're having right now, I interviewed Marissa Jensen and Brittany Choney Haywood, who are both involved in Juneau Community Charter Schools. And this was back in February, and it helped to inform some of my opinions and thoughts as I waded through the Senate Bill 140 saga. And I thought it was still relevant and interesting, and so I just wanted to share it. Oh, and this is a podcast about Alaska. It's the 19th of February today, and this is an issue that is evolving, so I want to put a little timestamp on it. Just moments ago, the House was in session and they failed to pass Senate Bill 140, which is that Internet for Schools bill, which has become kind of an education omnibus with a whole bunch of other pieces to it. We don't know where that will go or when that will go or how that will go, but we do know how it's been impacting local schools. And I'm here today with Marissa Jensen from the Alaska Association of School Boards and from the Juneau Community Charter Schools, and Brittany Choney Haywood, who is a member of the Juneau School Board and also affiliated with the Juneau Community Charter School. So if maybe we could start with each of you giving me a little bit of an introduction, maybe talk about your background and connection to this education funding issue.
I'll go first. Brittany Choney Haywood, currently sit on the Juneau School Board as well as the Charter School. I have had my child in the Juneau Community Charter School since he was a kindergartner. I chose that option mainly because he was always a very hands-on child when he was young, and I thought that it would be kind of the project-based learning and some of the independent choice pieces that are part of the charter school model would be a good fit for his personality and learning style. And so that's how I came to, that's how our family kind of came to be in the charter school. I have a background as an economist. I have also taught at the university level. And so education has always been pretty near and dear to my heart. So I was a term economics professor. I currently actually am an adjunct professor with UAS as well. So again, that kind of feeds that interest in education and that value of having really high quality education in the state.
Yeah, so you have a lot of touch points here, and you're doing a lot of hard work on the Juneau School Board as well. You ran for local office and got into the Juneau School Board just in time to be the financial expert overseeing a major crisis. So maybe could you talk a little bit about what's happening right now on the kind of the local level? What's the Juneau School District going through right now? And I've heard it described in a lot of kind of crises, emergency room, hospital terms.
Yes. So my timing is apparently impeccable. So the Juneau School District as a whole, of which charter school is one small optional program, finds itself in a pretty, well, an unprecedented, that term gets thrown around a lot as well, unprecedented deficit situation. And I know that there's a number of other districts. I believe I just saw Fairbanks is looking at closing four schools. Those conversations are about FY25, so that's next year. Whereas we, in addition to having the fiscal cliff that is hitting other districts across the state, have also found ourselves in a situation in that we do not have now have a balanced budget within FY24, so the school year that we are currently in. The city has been gracious to step in, and FY24 is going to result in some shared services costs being taken up by CBJ and a potential loan, which is also unprecedented, requires both the approval of the assembly as well as the Department of Education and Early Development, or what I'll refer to as DEED, going forward. So that does impact charters also, in that that is a program that is potentially on the table that might need to go away, which has been brought up by some school board members. But the school district impacts are going to hit everybody.
Yeah. And so And so some of this is an accounting error that's kind of accelerated this problem, but it is something that is broadly impacting school districts across the state. And
Absolutely.
Marissa, I don't want to get too far without introducing you. I feel like you have probably a good bird's eye view on this as a member of the staff at Alaska Association of School Boards. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background and your connection to this issue.
Yeah. So I come to education, work in education by a pretty unconventional route in that I was unschooled and did not attend K-12 school. And then I have a bachelor's degree from UIS and a master's degree in clinical social work from Boston University with a focus on children's well-being. And when I was getting ready to go to grad school, my kids were preschool and first grade age. And I was trying to figure out how that was going to work. And a friend said, "You know, my kids are at the charter school. It's really pretty great." And charter really incorporated several of the things that I valued most from my experience, which was the broader age range. So a lot of multi-grade interaction, which I had seen as really positive in my educational experience, and that more student-led time outdoors, lots of those things. So my daughter and I went and visited, and she loved it. Day one, she wanted me to hang out for a little bit. Day two, she was like, "Mom, why are you even here?" And by the end of the first week, she was saying, "Charter school is the best and homeschool is the worst, and I'm never going to homeschool again." We had homeschooled for just a few months of kindergarten at that point.
That's
So my
funny.
youngest started preschool, my daughter started at charter school, and I started my grad program. And when I finished, the Juneau School District was part of a grant program, a grant that AASB wrote called Promise Neighborhoods, which is a federal education grant and included seven districts across Southeast, created a position in the Juneau School District that they called Social Emotional Learning Specialist. So I was post grad school, I was looking at jobs and I went, "Wow, huh, that's interesting. I didn't know a job like that existed." Well, it never had existed in Juneau before, but it had a lot of my interests and the ability to have summers off with my kids, things like that. So I applied and I worked for 4.5 years with the Juneau School District. Working on social emotional learning, trauma engaged school practice, and really looking at how schools could better support well-being for students, which also means staff, actually. That's a key component.
Yeah.
And then moved to work with the Association of School Boards in a similar position. So I'm supporting grant projects that are providing professional development and support for staff across the state around well-being and resilience and creating physically and emotionally safe school environments.
Yeah, and so getting to this question of like, what is a charter school? It feels like a very broad, like there's a broad set of answers, and I think that kind of the best answer that I've found is that a charter school can be a specialized focused school that essentially acts as like a almost like a pilot project for educational approaches that aren't available in the existing school system that then can be modeled and adopted by the school system, and that they sort of reach outside of a traditional structure, allow teachers to try new things that they haven't before, and then if those things are successful, maybe bring those back to the broader educational system. But I think that there's also this fear that charter schools are a little bit of a way that we can circumvent the Constitution by creating a system of like haves and have-nots, where we're funding either private religious education or where we're funding private education for some and then public education for others kind of goes by the wayside. And so I think the concern with charter schools is pretty legitimate, but and I think that the kind of the good case for it is also very legitimate. And I'd kind of like to understand where you see Juneau Community Charter Schools on this spectrum, if I'm getting it wrong, like kind of what is a charter school to you both?
I think one of the things folks maybe who have experience with charter schools in other states don't realize that is that in Alaska, a charter school has to be connected to its local district. We don't have a network of charter schools that can be run by either nonprofit or for-profit, which in some states there are for-profit charter school networks. So they're getting state funding and they're operating a private for-profit school network. In Alaska, that doesn't exist. A charter school has to be under its local school board. And I think really does have the potential to be that model. I mean, there are several Alaska Native language focused charter schools in the state. And really, Juneau Community Charter, we've been talking about this because many of the things that started as a focus that were very different when the school started more than 20 years ago have become sort of standard features of many You know, most elementary schools now have some attention to social emotional learning, right? That's broadly recognized as being necessary, but it was a specific focus when the Juneau Community Charter School started. Charter school has been that model of piloting things, reaching for best practices, and, you know, bringing them into the system.
Nice. Brittany, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of, you know, I'm the finance person, right? So I want to add that I appreciate Marisha's take on how the charters in Alaska are different. And I think that's a very important piece to me because I am an advocate of public education. I'm a product of public education. So I wouldn't have my child in the charter school if it was like a for-profit taking kind of pulling that funding off. So in Alaska, which apparently has a rather successful model, according to Harvard, and the study that's popped up of recently, for the charter school, you know, the entire state operates on an October count. And so the Juneau Community Charter School, since that's the one I'm familiar with, gets that funding through the school district for that student count. So it's based on that BSA formula. There's not much difference as to whether or not that child would be in a neighborhood school or the charter school as far as BSA funding is concerned. I'm going to make a little bit of a caveat on that in that the charter school size is small. And so there is a factor of school size in that BSA funding formula. So maybe there would be a little bit of a difference, but it's fairly small. The bulk of that BSA funding is going to be kind of attached to that student, so long as they're within the district.
Are you as a charter school then also eligible for like grant funding that maybe a neighborhood school would be spread more thin on or things like that?
We don't have a nonprofit that we can typically run that grant funding through. It is something that the governing board or APC of charter school is working to set up, but there could be some potential of running it through the school district, but I don't know that we've figured that out yet. So we've been working on this nonprofit, and I don't know if Marissa has some more to add on that.
Is that kind of like a Friends of the Library type thing where the city government runs the library, but the Friends of the Library can bring in extra revenue to support programming that's adjacent?
Correct. Yeah. And okay. It's my understanding Montessori has already a nonprofit set up for their school.
Yeah. And so really the parent teacher organization or PTA, Parent Teacher Association, those are two different umbrellas essentially of national organization that local schools can be under. They're in many ways a similar thing. They're a nonprofit option that does fundraising to support a school.
Okay, so getting to the state legislation, there was this Internet in Schools bill that's been added, you know, a whole bunch of little Christmas tree elements have been added to it. One of those pieces has to do with charter schools and seemed to be a little bit disruptive to the broader conversation of education funding and really brought a lot of focus to charter schools. And so I'd just kind of be curious, like what your reaction was to that, Brittany, and if you've looked at that legislation or how it's impacted your or what conversations you've had around it.
I have looked at it briefly. I did pull it up before our conversation. I had looked at it when it first got introduced. The governor did post on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, the kind of a diagram that outlined basically the changes. As far as I can tell at this point, my understanding is the biggest change is that approval process for charter schools. The current process starts with the school district, funnels up to the Department of Education and Early Development, and then ends up with final approval from the State Board of Education. So there's kind of a system and what I would call some checks and balances on that process. The current legislation, as far as I understand it, is that we're going to remove that local school district out of the approval process. And it's going to go straight basically to DEED and I'm not sure what kind of review. I assume the technical review that DEED currently does would still exist. But the only approval would be from the State Board of Education, which means then that the State Board of Education could be approving charter schools without any input from the local school district.
And that affects their funding because of the students that attend are eligible for BSA, right? So if you, so if you decide as the state that this school district has X, Y, and Z charter schools, then you're impacting their funding allocations and their organizational structure.
Okay. That is correct.
All right.
There are some pieces that charter schools do, like Juneau Community Charter School does pay an administration overhead charge back to the district and lease. But there are some other pieces that aren't really factored in, like transportation and food. Juneau Community Charter School is fortunate that we do receive those items from the school district. But I think that there's, I'm not entirely sure that that has to be provided. I also think that, yes, we're going to then disrupt a bit of that funding mechanism, because now it's just the State Board of Education that gets to make that determination. And then you have that impact of that funding has to then be set aside basically for the charter school.
Yeah. So
I guess without that local input. And that, I think that's my biggest
concern. Marissa, anything that you wanted to add to that?
Yeah. I mean, I think just that, that local control piece, I mean, that's one of the things that has really been emphasized in Alaska's education structure is local control over making choices. For instance, there's, you know, curriculum is mostly controlled at the local level, things like that. And I think, you know, like Brittany said, there's that study that came out recently and that the governor highlighted about the success of Alaska's charter schools relative to other states. And I think local control over charter schools is one of the specific ways that we're very different from other states. Mm-hmm. And so I have concern about the impact of shifting our model to be more like the states that we're currently outperforming.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. And so I guess in terms of like need, where do you think this like comes from? Is there, are there groups that are clamoring to become charter schools that we know of that are unable to negotiate that with their local school districts? Or is this just something that is, that kind of got invented and thrown in the pile?
I am not aware of any in Juneau. I can't really speak. I mean, Anchorage has the largest number of charter schools in the state, which I guess makes sense given they're the population center. So I don't know if they have charter schools that are not getting through their district. I haven't heard or seen any charter school applications to the Juneau School Board of late.
Yeah.
That I'm aware of anyway.
Marissa, you work with the Alaska Association of School Boards. You might have your fingers a little more on the pulse of this. Is there a need that you're seeing here that's trying to be filled, or where did this come from?
The only situation I'm aware of is there was sometime in the last year or two, an Anchorage charter school was shut down by the Anchorage school district for financial noncompliance. Not absolutely certain of these details, but some of it I think had to do with not having adequate transparency and some other things, spending money maybe in ways that wasn't allowed, things like that. But it was a religiously oriented charter school. Mm-hmm. And
I'm pretty familiar with that. Yeah. And so it seemed like they were maybe circumventing some of the kind of constitutional mandates to not spend public money on religious materials. But it's all, I think, to be determined by a court of law at some point in the future. So, Brittany.
So I think that I may have heard the governor say something about like outcomes, and that the outcomes of the charter schools, since they're higher, that we should have more charter schools. I would argue that I don't think that charter schools are a panacea to our current issues. I think that an increase to the BSA would help all schools raise their outcomes. We know that class sizes impact our student outcomes. So if we're seeing increased PTRs, or pupil to teacher ratios, start creeping up, then that is going to lower our outcomes. So I would advocate that instead of going down and taking a system that apparently is the best in the nation, that we just provide more funding to all of our schools so that they can keep and retain quality teachers, that they can maintain lower PTRs, and options like that, and activities and electives that keep kids in school.
Yeah, and I would imagine if the charter schools are being very successful, we would want to look at those elements that are successful and bring those back into the neighborhood schools, right? Are there other things that you'd like to see come from the legislative session this year? Like, what would be really good for education?
The biggest thing the legislature could do to support education in Alaska would be a BSA increase. And the difference between a BSA increase and one-time funding just really, I think, can't be overstated. One-time funding leaves districts in this position of not knowing, not being able to make decisions based on a future where an increase in the BSA gives them some stability to work with. I know throwing money at the problem, people want to say, oh, we have bad outcomes. We're not just going to put more money in. And I've started to use the analogy that if the price of gas goes up, I don't expect to get more miles per gallon because it doesn't work that way. And that's where we're at. The price of fuel, actual heating fuel for our buildings, and the staff that fuel the system has gone up significantly without an increase in funding. And at this point, poor funding, inadequate funding is a cause of our outcomes and shouldn't be a justification for continuing poor funding.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Brittany, did you have something
As
to add?
an economist, in addition to catching up with inflation for our BSA, I would like to see some sort of inflation proofing. I've been told kind of I'm dreaming on that, and I think that's unfortunate, but I think that it's important that we have that built in so that we don't end up back here again in the future. Inflation is inflation. There is core inflation. It's currently higher than expected at 3.9%. So we're not going to see interest rates go down anytime soon or any of those changes. And I think it's important that if we value education, that we see that increase to the BSA and then that we inflation proof it for the future. Forward funding would probably be helpful as well, right? We're in the middle of right now having to do a budget for the school district. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we're not going to know likely for another couple of months to the BSA, whether we get 0, 300, 680, something, 14, 13, whatever the number comes out, we have no idea. So it's kind of like trying to do a budget with, looking into a crystal ball.
And Brittany, you're an economist. You're talking about inflation. When you say inflation is 3.9%, that's essentially at flat funding, that's a cut to the school, right? That's a
Absolutely.
okay. All right. Well,
And that's core inflation. So that has volatile elements taken out. So that removes food and energy costs, which tend to be rather volatile. And so that doesn't count any of those energy costs, right, that we see at the gas pump for heating fuel, those types of pieces, or food costs, because those tend to be rather volatile. And so economists will strip those out to see what, and then get something that they call core inflation.
and nowhere more volatile than Alaska, I suppose.
Right. No, and those are
Yeah.
national numbers, right?
Yeah.
That's across the lower 48. We would be thrown in the mix there, but that's not getting everything transported up to Alaska.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time. This has been a very educational discussion for me. We'll talk again soon, I hope. All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.